In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You would hardly ever say, I was born in America. The only way you would do that is if you moved to another country, right? And they were asking, where are you from? I was born in America. But instead, you and I, we always say, I am an American. I'm an American, right? And yes, it is a historical fact that you were born in America, right? At some point, maybe you were born down in Bloomington, Illinois, 53 years ago or whatever, right? That's the historical reality, but you don't say, I was an American. You say, I'm an American. In the same way, if somebody asks you, what church do you go to? You don't say, well, I was a Lutheran. No, you would only say that if you didn't go to the Lutheran church anymore. Now, sure, at some point, it's a historical fact that you became a Lutheran, a member of the Lutheran church. But you don't say, I was a Lutheran. You say, I'm a Lutheran, right? Now, that is so easy for us to understand. And yet, when it comes to baptism, we don't seem to do that same thing. Our language, when we talk about baptism, is we say, I was baptized. Right? Well, okay, yes, that's true. That's a historical fact. You were baptized. But what about right now? We don't seem to make that same connection as we do with other things. Now, when it comes to baptism, there are two absolute historical facts that you know for certain. One, the first historical fact you know about baptism, that about 1,988 years ago, something like that, in the Jordan River, that Jesus, your Savior, was baptized by John the Baptist. It's a historical fact. There were many witnesses there. We have it in all the Gospels, right? So we know that Jesus was baptized that day. The second historical fact is the one for you or me. It's not the same for all of us. It's going to be a different date for all of us. But at some specific point, day in the past, you know, like for me, a little over 37 years ago, right? I was baptized. And you know the same thing. And a lot of us can say who the pastor was that was doing the baptizing. We can say what church it was at. We can say who our sponsors are. And that's why. Because we have a certificate. Right? The historical fact is important. And that's why we write it in big church record books. Why we give certificates, all this stuff. So it is a historical fact. Jesus was baptized and you were baptized. But that doesn't get to the heart of it. What about right now? Those facts tell you something about you and your soul right now. And the fact is, not only was Jesus baptized as your substitute, but he is now your substitute. And the fact is, not only were you baptized into Jesus, but you are right now baptized into Jesus. So we need to work on our language. Just as we would say, I'm an American, or we would say, I'm a Lutheran, we say, I'm baptized. I am baptized into Jesus. That's our refrain. And even if you want to go so far as to say, it's like one of our mottos as Christians. I told you a few weeks ago about John the Baptist and his motto, right? They kept saying, who are you? Who are you? And he says, I'm not, I'm not. And then he says, I am a Christian, right? Well, another one of our mottos as Christians has to be, I'm baptized. I am baptized into Christ. And we have this beautiful hymn. I already told you about it. We're going to learn this year. And it has that wonderful refrain in every verse. I am baptized into Christ. Right? So, what I hope you'll notice when you sing that hymn, because we're going to sing it, you know, probably about once a month or whatever this year. You'll sing it about 12 times this year. So notice when we sing it, the structure of it. Each verse is telling you something about this refrain, I am baptized into Christ. So the first and the last verse, verse 1 and verse 5, they're kind of the introduction and the conclusion. They kind of wrap the whole thing. And basically they just tell you how invaluable this gift of baptism is. So verse 1 says, do I need earth's treasures many? I have one worth more than any. Right, so we don't need big money. We don't need big fame. We don't need big anything else. We have a treasure that is worth all the weight of heaven, our baptism. And the last verse is kind of like it says, there's nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort, sure. But what I want to especially talk to you about is the middle three verses. All right. In the middle three verses, each one of them addresses one of our enemies. And when I mean it addresses one of our enemies, I mean it, we literally talk to one of our enemies. We have something to say to them. So in verse 2, we say to sin, "Hey, sin, I am baptized into Christ." Verse 3, we say, "Hey, Satan, I am baptized into Christ." In verse 4, we say, "Hey, death, I am baptized into Christ," right? "You can't end my gladness," we say. So understand what we're doing. We are talking, and even if you want to go even further and say, we are taunting our enemies. We are telling our enemies, this is how it is. Okay? And this is scriptural. It's the way Paul talks a lot in his epistles. He did it today in Romans chapter 6. After he gets done with his long explanation, then he says, "What shall we say? What are we going to say?" Or in chapter 8, he does it again. "What then shall we say to these things?" Okay, so here's the question to you then. What will you say to your sin? What will you say to the devil when he tries to entice you into sin again? What will you say to death when it frightens you? And you will say to every one of them, "I am baptized. You can't hurt me." So this is what we're going to say as Christians. This is going to be our refrain. Now, trouble is that's not what we always say to these enemies. And the trouble is we have a lot of other things we like to say to these enemies that are not quite so helpful. So let's take sin, for instance. What do you and I say when we have sins that are in our past that are really disturbing our soul, that are seizing our conscience? That's the language that the hymn uses. Disturbing our soul, seizing our conscience. What do we say to those sins? Do we say, "Oh, sin, that, you know, that was really horrible what I did, but I'm going to make up for you. I'm going to pay for you by being good from now on"? What does sin think when you say that to it? When you say to sin, I'm going to make this all better. From now on, I'm not going to do what I did anymore. Sin laughs at you. Okay? That's what your sins are going to do. They're going to laugh at you because they know better. And we know better, right? Nice try. That's not going to ease your guilty conscience. Or when you have a sin that's gnawing at your soul and you've tried and tried and tried to deal with it, will you say, "You know what, sin? You're not really that big of a deal. You know, I know tons of other people who are doing the same sins all the time, right? So I know. You know, you're not really that big of a deal." And then, guess what? We'll try to defend it. We'll explain it away. "Oh, it wasn't really my fault," right? Or we'll just plain ignore it. Well, sin laughs about that too, because that doesn't work either. Here's what we say. What actually works when we have sins in our past that are seizing our conscience, we will say to them, "Sin, I am baptized. I'm baptized. You know, what are you going to say to me? You got nothing. Right? You, sin, were taken away from me by someone who is much greater and stronger, my Savior Jesus Christ." Right? I belong to Him. He's my substitute. And I'm not going to sit here miserable while you make me feel guilty all the time. Right? I am forgiven. I'm baptized, so get away from me. Right? That's verse 2 of our hymn. Verse 3, then we do the same thing to Satan. What are we going to say to Satan? Right? Well, we, like so many Christians today, will just act like he doesn't exist at all. Shall we say, "Oh, Satan, you're just the guy who wants us to have fun," right? Shall we act like he's harmless or like we can just play around in his house and nothing bad is going to happen to us, right? We'll let him entice us into gossiping and skipping church and watching junk on TV and internet, you know, and enticing us into wasting our time when we should be loving our spouse or family. And then we'll say to him, "Oh, it's no big deal, Satan." No, we will not, right? We will say to that filthy serpent, "No, Satan, I am baptized," right? Drop your accusations. That's what the hymn said. Drop your accusations, right? Just stop it. You don't have anything on me. I'm not enticed by you. You don't have any power over me. I have Jesus, right? You can entice me, Satan, into all these sins that you think are going to make me feel better. I don't believe it. I have more joy and pleasure in my Savior Jesus than any of those worthless sins will offer me. Right? Jesus, I have Him. I'm baptized in Him. I'm not going to listen to you. That's verse 3. Finally, then, verse 4, we turn to our last enemy. Paul says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And we say to death, right? You cannot end my gladness. That's what we're saying. You cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. In other words, here's what we'll not say to death. Death, I'm so scared of you. Or death, you're going to destroy me. Or death, I don't want to think about you because I'm just too busy living right now. No, we will not say any of that to death. What we will say to death is, death, I'm baptized into Christ, right? And you have nothing on me. I will not die, but I will live and recount the deeds of the Lord, or as Paul says, do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death? You've already died with Jesus, he says, and if we've died with him, we believe that we will also live with him. I'm baptized, death, so you can just move on. Now think about how different that is to what the world is saying to death. What the world today is saying to death is, death, you answer our problems for us. Right? That's what abortion is. That's what euthanasia is. It's saying, death, you be the answer to our problems. Well, death has no answer. Death is always the problem. We treat it as an enemy, and we say to you, death, we are baptized, and we don't want any part of you. So, what will we say to our enemies, dear Christians? What will we say, right? Will we say what the rest of the world says about sin? They say, oh, sin is just something you religious people made up to make us feel guilty. Or will we say that nothing's really sinful, it's only what you make of it, right? As if we don't all know deep in our conscience that there is something wrong with us and much of what we do? Or what about Satan? Will we just say, oh, he's a figment of our imagination, right? Or that death is just our friend? No, we will look these enemies square in the face and we will say to them, I am baptized into Christ, right? This is our answer to them. Sin, you are forgiven and paid for by Christ. Satan, I'm not going to be enticed by you anymore. And death, I'm not scared of you because I'm baptized into Jesus. Now, one more point that I hope will help you to remember this a little bit. Our synod, about 5 years ago, they put out a Bible study for one of our conventions. It was all on baptism. And the author started out by asking, you know, when we come to church, we start out with this phrase, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you think about it, that's kind of odd. That's not a complete sentence. It's just a bunch of prepositional phrases strung together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Nobody, that's bad grammar. Who says a sentence like that? Right? If you walked up to somebody and said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Spirit, they would say, what? What in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So why do we start that way in all of our services? Well, because we're just ending a sentence that began when? When you were baptized. I baptize you, God said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So every time we come and start our service with an incomplete sentence, we are remembering what? I am baptized. I am baptized, right? And to our enemies, we will say, forget about it. You have nothing on me, right? I am baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.